First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We start out with some Friday headlines. MLS is discussing wage cuts with the players' union. They began that discussion about having players accept significant salary cuts and cuts due to the coronavirus pandemic. According to multiple sources, the talks took place on Thursday via a conference call that included MLS Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, and the MLSPA Executive Board. Discussions came amid the backdrop of the league-wide shutdown that has been in place since March 12th. So we'll see what that means moving forward from there. In the meantime, some interesting news coming out for the NFL. They're going to be doing mock runs of the NFL draft on Monday. So on Monday, they'll get to test out all of the virtual technology that will be in place a week from yesterday, as the NFL draft is less than a week than away. They're going to give teams a chance at a trial run before the draft kicks off under these unprecedented circumstances. The exercise gives GMs the opportunity to redraft some NFL legends. According to ESPN's Dan Graziano, teams may choose from former greats as opposed to current prospects, and no one wants to tip their hand before the big event. Obviously, they're not going to tell you much. They're just going to figure out how the draft will work so that they know how to execute it. And speaking of executing draft moves, Michael Rothstein reports on ESPN.com that Detroit Lions general manager Bob Quinn has started having conversations about potentially trading the number three pick in next week's NFL draft. He didn't say if the club has offers on the table from other teams, but he made it clear Friday he's open to moving down from the pick. And if possible, he'd like to have his mind made up before the draft begins Thursday night. That makes a lot of sense, not knowing what communication will look like. It's as simple as, if this person is still on the board, do we have a trade in place? So I think we'll see more and more of that. Detroit sits in the hot seat with the third overall pick as we keep an eye on what the Lions intend to do in the upcoming NFL draft. Have I mentioned it's less than a week away? Thank God. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. I said it last week, I'll say it again. Happy Friday. You made it to Friday. It doesn't feel like Friday. Nothing in the world feels normal right now. All I can do is encourage you on Friday to do something a little different. Have a little fun. Do something you don't usually do. Try and bring back that Friday feeling. There's an easy way to do it. Find something that brings you a little joy. Spoil yourself a little bit today and try and escape. It's First Take, your take. We're going to try and do that over the course of the next couple of hours. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Jalen Green is the hot high school college basketball prospect. We noted yesterday in the updates that the top overall prospect in high school has decided to forego NCAA basketball and instead will go directly to the G League. So that raises our question today, knowing that he's going to the G League, which has a new path that essentially pays guys a lot more to get into the NBA professional system right out of the gates. My question is, what does it mean for the future of college basketball? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is it good for it? Is it bad for it? Does it make any difference for it? Are you still going to watch if the biggest names coming out of high school decide to forego the opportunity to play college basketball? Give me your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's the future of college basketball if players start skipping for the G League? With that in mind, we're going to start off with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. I'll give you my Straight Talk in just a minute, but we knew that the guys at First Take were going to have a lot to say about this. Jay Williams joined Stephen A. and Max to ask the specific question of Jalen Green going to the G League and what it makes the NBA look like right now.
I think they look fantastic. I think that Adam Silver clearly appears to be ahead of the curve, and I'm proud of what they did here. Let me give props to my man Chris Haynes for Yahoo. That's my brother. Always good to see him doing his thing. Keep it up, bro. Let me get back to this kid, Jalen Green, here. I spoke to his agent, Aaron Goodwin, last night. I spoke to a couple of NCAA coaches, obviously some folks in the NBA community. Look at what the NBA is doing here. Essentially, what you're taking are top prospects. You know, you're offering the opportunity. Let's say, for example, you're one of those rare stars coming out of high school where it's clear that you're destined for the NBA. You could go to college. You could play 1 year before coming into the NBA. Or, you know, you've got some people like LaMelo Ball and others that have gone overseas, or they've gone to Australia or China or someplace like that. Well, guess what? The NBA said, we're tired of sending our scouts all the way over there. We're tired of being devoid of the opportunities for these young men to really develop their skills and what have you, because they need to go someplace else just to earn money, because the NCAA won't allow them to do so, particularly when it comes to to profiting off of their likeness. Well, here's a solution. Even though the average salary in the G League is $35,000 to $50,000, we're here giving these guys $500,000. I'm told in Jalen Green's case, it's definitely more than $500,000. Plus, we're giving them the option. They could go to college if they want to, and we will pay for their education. So we're not sacrificing their education for the benefits of basketball, but we're still allowing them to play basketball, get a decent salary, to say the least. I mean, the average salary in the world ain't even $50,000, $60,000. You talk about a kid making $500,000 or more. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it puts the NCAA on notice that you can't get away with exploiting these athletes the way that you've been doing for decades. Your time is up. The NBA is on the scene. You only serve in 1 year there. You go to the G League for 1 year. You develop your skills. You work. You learn the NBA game, you know, as an understudy to some degree from those guys in there. And not only that, you're available for the draft. It's not like a particular team has your rights. You're able to enter. In Jalen Green's case, it will be the 2021 NBA draft, and he's eligible for any team that's slotted to take him in whatever position they want to take him at, while at the same time being in that developmental league, learning an NBA system, being paid in excess of $500,000 while still getting his education paid for if he so chooses to do it. I'm told it'll probably be online as opposed to him actually attending a university. It would be online classes. But all of those things I think are a great thing. I called Aaron Goodwin myself last night to express how happy I was that this happened, and I hope to see more of it from elite athletes coming out of prep until the NCAA steps up and starts taking care of these dudes and compensating them the way they deserve.
We're moving into a different realm here within the basketball space, guys. And I've said this before, and I know it breaks a lot of college basketball fans' hearts, but when you look at the pecking order of notoriety around individual players, right, it goes NBA, then it goes high school, then it goes college. Like, it's hard for you guys to tell me who some of the top college players are this year in college basketball, right? Obi Toppin, some guys that have came on ESPN, but I can tell you about Jalen Green. I can also tell you about a kid named Imani Bates, who won Player of the Year as a sophomore in high school. So the notoriety with Mars is Real, with Overtime, with the surge of the internet, Instagram, a lot of these kids have 400,000 or 500,000 followers on Instagram. I mean, they are being tracked by all these different sources all over the country. So can you imagine a scenario, because I've heard health experts speak about this, by saying that, hey, we're probably not going to be allowed to have fans in stadiums until 2021. Imagine a scenario, say this pandemic continues to go on for a little bit, okay, and then you don't have kids that are in school, but we're finding some way to get the term amateurism, to get these kids to play college football, college basketball, when there are no fans in the stadiums and there's no school. So this term student athlete, all of a sudden, no, it becomes athlete student. And I remember what people used to say, well, it's all, they're getting their free education. So now if there are no classes, but these athletes are supposed to come back and play for a university when there are no fans, no classes, but they're making money for the university and for network, that's something that kids pay attention to. Kids are worried about their brands from an earlier time now. They're paying attention to, how can I monetize my value? How can I leverage my platform? So yeah, not only, I said this will be the norm, this is, and it's brilliant by Adam Silver. Create an alternative opportunity for these kids. And this kid, Jalen Green, he's going to earn way more than $500,000. Because I tell you what, every brand that I talk to doing stuff with the boardroom, every brand talks about, oh, we want to appeal towards a younger demo. So every brand is going to say, this kid's going to get notoriety. There's going to be content that's going to be built about him. The league is going to push him. He's going to make well over $1 million. So if you're a kid that's in the top 20 and you have a chance to go directly to the league and play on a team that's going to be in Los Angeles, okay, and your earning potential is that higher, why wouldn't you do that? It makes all the sense in the world. Genius move by Adam Silver and NBA.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, presented by Progressive Insurance. And look, this is all in reaction to Jalen Green deciding that he's going to forego college basketball and head over to the NBA G League. Now, he's a very exceptional case because he's an exceptional player. And as a result, there are a handful of guys that can make really good money in the G League. There's a lot of people only making nominal money in the G League, but there are opportunities. So the question we're asking you is, what's it do to the future of college basketball? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. To help us break this conversation down, I wanted to bring on somebody that I know is incredibly passionate about not only college basketball, but the NBA, can analyze both, and really has his feet in both worlds to understand what it means for both sides. So ESPN college basketball and NBA analyst Sean Farnham joins the show now. Farnham, thanks for the time. I hope you and your family are safe, and that's most important to everything. So I appreciate you joining us. What was your reaction to Jalen Green skipping college basketball to go to the G League?
Good for him. If that's what he wants to do, then, and I've always been a proponent of the ability for those players that are special and unique, that want to have the opportunity to earn money, go do it. We've seen it in other areas. We've seen kids go overseas, whether it's Emmanuel Mudiay, whether it's Brandon Jennings, whether it's RJ Hampton, LaMelo Ball. They've all done similar things. This isn't breaking the mold. This is just a new opportunity, given the fact that he's going to the G League instead of going overseas. And the development of the G League, I think, is an important component to the NBA. And I don't disagree with what Jay Will was saying. He's going to be able to make probably upwards of about $1 million this upcoming season. And good for him if that's what he wants to do.
Well, and to that point, Sean, you know, I've said a million times, like, nobody questions why Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears were able to go make their money. I want people to be able to go get there. So the question that the next natural question in this entire progression is, what's it mean for college basketball moving forward?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Look, did college basketball exist when Kevin Garnett went straight to the NBA, or Kobe Bryant, or LeBron James, or Jermaine O'Neal, or Sebastian Telfair, or Al Harrington, or Amari Stoudemire, or Dwight Howard? Yes, it did. And was it okay? Was it watchable? Yeah, it was. And people still loved it. Because here's the difference. The difference between the two is very clear. In professional world, you are more often to follow players or fall in love with a player then live and die with your team. There's certain exceptions to that, obviously, when you talk about the Celtics or you're talking about the Lakers or the Knicks that have a diehard fan base for better or for worse. And in the college game, when you are a fan of UCLA, you're never going to be a fan of USC. If you're a fan of Auburn, you're not going to be walking around all of a sudden because they get a recruit and go, hey, Roll Tide. So there's a difference in the passion level that you have for your esteemed university. Look, losing out on the biggest stars may hurt college a little bit from a marketing perspective, but the overall quality of the games and stuff, I don't think it's going to change all that much. I think we're overselling how dramatic this is going to be, because you're really only talking about five players tops per year. If you're telling me on the ESPN top 100, we're going to lose five, but we still have the other 95, the college game's going to be just fine. So people have to stop panicking about the college game. And there are going to be those, like Jalen Suggs, product out of Minnesota that committed to Gonzaga, that was trying to determine whether or not he was going to take the same path of Jalen Green. He chose to go to Gonzaga instead of turning pro. So he signed just the other day. Well, why did he choose to go to Gonzaga next year, Jason? Well, because he understands that the value of Gonzaga being potentially the number one team in the country at the start of the next college basketball season, and the chance to win a national championship, and the chance to be on ESPN 30 times over the course of the college basketball season, and potentially winning the national championship, will only increase his marketability and his profits in the futures. He's betting on himself for the futures. What Jalen Green is doing is saying, hey, I may have the futures, but I need the present. And that's a personal decision that I think everybody should respect and understand, just as much as we should understand that there are those that are top five caliber players that could potentially make that jump to the NBA, G League, overseas, whatever they want to do to financially gain their money. And they're saying, you know what? No, the college route is still better because I've seen the engine work. We forget that Trae Young was not a guy we were talking about when he went to Oklahoma. We were talking about DeAndre Ayton. We were talking about Michael Porter Jr. We were talking about Bagley at Duke, and that's fine. But we ended up focusing on Trae Young, and he made himself a lot of money by how he performed at Oklahoma and how much attention he got and marketability on the free market for companies to see him on the ESPN platform and across all other college basketball networks, and that includes CBS and all the other networks that those games were televised on. He became the show, and he became the focal point. There is an amount of money that you will gain from that exposure that you can then tap into if you make that 8-month investment in yourself. Again, if you want to go make money, great, go do it. If you want to come to the college game and you see the marketing power behind those universities and the brands that they have and the exposure you can get, then go ahead and take that as well. I don't think there's a wrong answer, and I think it's a personal decision that each one of these young kids and their families have to make, and hopefully they make an educated decision. And I think in this case, Jalen Green made a very educated decision for himself.
ESPN college basketball analyst Sean Farnham joining us. First Take, your take. I'm Jason Fitz. In fact, Farnham, I'll take it a step further. I think that this could actually be good for college basketball. In the world where I want everybody to go get theirs, let the guys that have the opportunity to go earn, let them go earn. If all we end up with is a level of college basketball where we get more guys that are staying for 3 or 4 years, that actually long-term, I think, helps the marketability of it. When you start to see, like, what we all fell in love with coming into this college basketball season was Michigan State and Cassius Winston and the return, and what was it going to mean for those guys? Like, that was part of the story coming into the year that we were able to follow. Well, it took Cassius Winston being there a long time to have that happen. And if we see more of that, I think it only increases the ability for us to keep up with college basketball and really stay invested in guys, because to your point, we're invested in programs, not players. But if we have guys staying longer within the program, they become part of what we all look for when we watch college basketball in the fall.
There's no doubt. The Cassius Winston stories, the Miles Powell, the Marcus Howards of this past college basketball season were the focal point. It wasn't the star freshman. In fact, this year's freshman class wasn't very good. And look, in the college game, we would still have had Trae Young. We would still have Devin Booker. I mean, those guys still would have come to college. They weren't going to be able to go straight out of high school to the NBA. So if I'm telling you the college game still has a player like Devin Booker who comes out of his freshman season at Kentucky and lights the world on fire, are you taking that? Are you watching Devin Booker? Of course you are. It might mean that we don't have Karl Anthony Towns. I get that. I understand that. But there's a trade-off within that aspect. And like, to your point, when you start to see players go 2, maybe even 3 years in the college game, what ends up happening is fans start really rooting for that player, that program. They believe in that program. They see the development of that player. And then you have those Buddy Hield type stories. And I know those are few and far between, because the NBA is a futures betting world where they draft on futures, they draft on potential, and hope that they can tap into that. But people forget about Buddy Hield and that run that he had with Oklahoma when they went to the Final Four. He was a senior. And people were like, man, he's old. Well, he's doing okay right now in the NBA. That experience over 4 years benefited him. And each path and each journey is different. And that's the point that I think that people have to understand, Jason, and really, really grasp onto. Jalen Green made a great decision for himself. Good. We should applaud him. We should applaud his family. And we should applaud Adam Silver for giving the opportunity for young players to go ahead and make money if they want to. We should also applaud those that want to go to the college route and see the value in the college game and the marketability in the college game, even if they're there for 1 year. And if they're there for longer than that, then that's the treat for all of us. They get to cover the sport, and we love these universities so much, and we love the passion of the game, that we can really sit back and celebrate what they're able to accomplish over the long haul of their careers.
All I'm saying, Farnham, is I've seen the videos on social media of your son playing. I mean, he's got a nice shot, buddy. Like, where are we sending him? We sending him to the G League? You're going to make him earn right away? Does he get to go to college? Like, have you figured it out yet?
All I tell him is those are our eraser workouts. Those are our eraser workouts. We go out in the front yard and we erase all doubt and we erase all fear and we just get better. And I'm really proud of how he's, you know, the quarantine's been tough on everybody. But you know what? I think it's tougher on my kids, because I'm one hell of a PE coach. Like, I might not be a good third grade math teacher because my son doesn't know Common Core anymore, but he is carrying the 1, which I think is going to really confuse his teachers when he goes back to school. But their PE classes are very sport specific. And I keep telling my kids, look, you've got to grind and you've got to get better. You've got to want to do something that other people aren't going to do. If you have uncommon goals, you have to put in an uncommon effort. So there's no doubt.
Look at that. Follow him on Twitter, at Sean Farnham. Sean, always appreciate you, my friend. Stay safe. Give your best to the family, and really appreciate you hanging out with us.
Hey, I got an idea for you, though, Fitzy.
Yeah, yeah.
I want a Fiddle Friday with Fitzy on Instagram Live.
You know what? That's a spectacular idea. That is a...
People want some music in their life. Can we get a Fiddle Friday with Jason Fitz on Instagram Live?
Yes, we can. We're going to make that happen. That is the, you know what? You've had a lot of good ideas. That might be one of your best. So yes, we're going to make that happen. That is a spectacular idea. And, I'll even give you credit, but we'll just use Farnham at the end so we can keep the alliteration going.
Yeah, if we can just get some more followers though on my Instagram account, that would be great. That's Farnham ESPN, because I'm struggling there. I don't have that clout that you have, brother.
You know what? We'll work on it. Farnham ESPN on Instagram. That's where we get the show. I appreciate you, my friend.
Not on Twitter. Who cares about Twitter anymore? Come on.
Oh, next thing you know, we're going to be going on TikTok together and doing crazy videos. That's the future. Ooh. We've got. Sean, I appreciate you, my friend.
We can't.
Sean Farnham giving us some real insight there. And again, I think it was really important to get somebody that's not just a college basketball purist and not just an NBA purist, but sees both sides for what they are. And that's why Sean's such a good resource for that. And I think it's still a win for everybody. If you're missing basketball, tune in tomorrow night for an NBA classic, Game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals between the Raptors and Warriors, presented by AutoZone. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, having a little bit of fun going through some of those. So we're going to keep taking your take on what the future of college basketball looks like. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, though, why does Chase Young think he should be taken at number one overall in the NFL draft? He was asked that very question when he joined First Take earlier today. You'll hear from him next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys can chime in. We want to take your take on it. It's Friday. We're going to have a little fun. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can chime in with your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've been asking you so far. What do you think? And now that Jalen Green is going to the G League instead of college basketball, what's it mean for the future of college basketball? I had some really good conversations on that, but we'll take your take on anything, and that would also include the NFL draft. Don't forget, guys, save water this spring. Get a more beautiful and healthy lawn with Pennington Smart Seed. It's premium drought-resistant grass that saves up to 30% more water than ordinary seed. Now, speaking of the NFL draft, we are not necessarily in love with the Chase Young to the level that I think we should be. I've had multiple people tell me better than Bosa's. And if you know that you can get production better than Bosa's, how are you not taking him first overall? Well, he's not a quarterback, so that belongs to Joe Burrow. But the question came up on First Take today with Stephen A. and Max talking directly to Chase Young and asking him why he thinks he should still be the first overall pick in the draft.
You obviously believe that you're the best player in the draft. Why do you believe you should be taken ahead of a quarterback?
I feel like, you know, on offense, the quarterback, you know, affects, you know, obviously that's the biggest thing on the offense, the quarterback defense. I feel like the biggest thing on defense is the defensive end. And I feel like, you know, what I bring to the game, you know, a lot of people haven't seen in a while. You know, that's definitely what I'm going to try to bring to the league. And, you know, I'm working hard right now. I'm feeling very confident of where I'm at. And, you know, I just can't wait to, you know, display what I have on the next level.
Chase, so much is said about you in terms of your ability to get to the quarterback. And obviously that definitely is essential. We get all of that. But what can you tell our audience about whatever else you believe you bring to the table? Because when people talk about you, they talk about the 16 and a half sacks last year, the 27 sacks over the last 2 years at Ohio State. Are there other elements to your game that you believe people are not paying enough attention to, they're not giving you enough props for?
I feel like my coverage, I feel like anytime I have to cover a back out of the backfield, I can do it. Anytime I have to play a zone, I can do it. So I feel like, you know, in the pass game, definitely drop it back. You know, if I have to cover a tight end or I have to drop in the zone or cover it back, I feel like I'm very strong in that area as well.
Coming out as you're considered practically unanimously as the best player in the draft, but you don't play quarterback. You know how that goes. But the guy who goes and gets the quarterback is like the next piece they want. You go to the same school. You put up big numbers, just like two other high first round picks, the Bosa brothers. And it is frequently written about you even more talented than them, which I didn't know it got more talented than them. Is there additional pressure on you because you play the same position, you went to the same school, and they've had so much success as high first round picks?
Nah, I wouldn't say pressure. I feel like coming in my junior year, I feel like that was a little more pressure. You know, trying to step up my junior year and make the plays that I had to make. But I wouldn't say pressure. I feel like football, I've been doing this since I was 6 years old. So, you know, I'm just going to go out in the field and do what I do best. And that's play the game of football that I love. So I wouldn't say any pressure. I feel like all Nick and Joe are doing for me is just setting the bar of where this is a more motivation factor, I would say, for me is the thing. But I wouldn't say pressure. I feel like, you know, I play this game, and this is what I do.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. Well, Chase Young is spectacular. I mean, he's incredible. And I'll go back to this year. I was traveling with Game Day, and we were at an Ohio State game, and I'm standing next to Mike Golic Jr., and you guys know I'm a little guy. I get that, right? Mike Golic Jr., not particularly a little guy, right? He just looked over and said, good God, then said a few words I can't say on radio, and then said, that guy is huge. And I looked over, and I was looking at a man that was making – he was dwarfing Mike Golic Jr. So you think about the size, just the size and the explosiveness, the opportunities we had to see Ohio State up close and personal this year. Every single time I watched Chase Young, I looked at him and realized he's just bigger, faster, stronger, and better than everybody around him. I frankly would have absolutely no problem with anybody taking him first overall. I understand that we are quarterback obsessed, and you guys know if you've listened to the show for more than 2 seconds that I think Joe Burrow is going to be a spectacular quarterback in the NFL. I just wouldn't fault anybody for taking Chase Young at the top of the draft because it's a given that he's going to immediately come in and make an impact. And in fact, the Redskins get very lucky here because they end up sitting at 2 and they're going to get an extra lineman on a defensive line that can already get after the quarterback. It gives them the chance under Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio's tutelage to get very good defensively very quickly. I love this for the draft. I love this for Chase Young. I love the fit for Chase and I love the fit for the Redskins where I think he'll be a dynamic impact player the day that he steps on the field. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. Asking you for your take. What do you think? Jalen Green is skipping college basketball, instead going to the G League. Going to make a bunch of money there. Good for him. What do you think overall the effect is to college basketball? Ryan in Pennsylvania, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I think overall this is really going to help the G League. With college basketball, I think it's obviously going to hurt them a little bit. It's going to take their best players out. But when we get into April and we're watching March Madness, March and April, it's you never see the best players. We're always watching teams with three-year players, seniors. Those are the teams that go far, and we're always going to log in to watch college basketball. That's not going to stop. So I don't think it's going to have a huge effect, but it's great for those kids that need to go get that bag.
Yeah, and well, and Ryan, I love your take on it. I think you're right about everything. I mean, Farnham has said it. I said it earlier in the show. You don't change the fact if you are a lifelong diehard North Carolina fan, you don't change that. That's not going to change no matter who's putting on that jersey. And if all we're getting out of college basketball are three-star recruits suddenly, as long as your three-star recruits, if you're a North Carolina fan, are better than Duke's three-star recruits, I think you're happy. I don't think it really matters that much. You know, I think ultimately when you get the opportunity for guys to stay longer, you actually will get more buy-in from it. Now, I've had a few people tweet me that college basketball is already unwatchable. To that, I would say, hey, no, it's not. Not to me particularly. I'm a fan of college basketball. I watch a ton of it. But the other side of it is how often are you watching the NBA draft and you're realizing by the time you get to pick 12, somebody's being drafted you've never heard of in your life. The transition to the NBA is not the only reason college basketball exists, unlike college football, which feels like it's its own sport, but it's also the feeding ground to the NFL. We're taking your take on everything, and we'll take your take on that as well. Andy in South Carolina, what's your take?
Well, my take is I feel like college basketball players who high school basketball players, I'm sorry, who decide to do that, you know, is good for them. They should do it. I also think, you know, college basketball is not mainly about the players, but more about your university and who you follow. And no matter who goes there or how you guys are doing, you know, university is not like pro sports. We're going to die hard with them. But mainly my take, what I wanted to know was, what do you guys think about the NFL draft and the Miami Dolphins? Everybody seems to forget about Josh Rosen sitting back there behind Fitzpatrick. And if the Dolphins decide to, yes, let the Chargers go ahead and jump ahead of them and take Tua, you know, what's our next move? Because I definitely would like to know if Josh Rosen can definitely become a better player next year.
Yeah, well, and thanks for your take on it. I don't think the Dolphins are really interested in anybody other than a quarterback. So it's sort of a worst case scenario because to me, Justin Herbert isn't a guy worth building your entire franchise around. So I personally wouldn't love Justin Herbert at 5 if I'm the Dolphins. You know, I'm not sure that the Dolphins aren't going to have to move up to ensure Tua if that's where they really have to go. They spent $131 million the first day of free agency to shore up the team. Now, you can make the argument that, frankly, if somebody trades up to three, that you're going to have a spectacular player drop. There are a few players in this draft that are great. We all know Joe Burrow. We've talked about Chase Young just now. Jeffrey Okuda, most mocks have him going third to the Lions. So if the presumption is that the Lions are going to trade down, now you've got Okuda coming down, that he's going to fall. So then you have the Giants picking next that will have their choice of Okuda or Isaiah Simmons, somebody that is absolutely spectacular getting after the quarterback and playing multiple positions. I mean, Isaiah Simmons played three different positions in college on the defensive side and did it all spectacularly well. So I think you're still in a plan where you can get a great playmaker. But if you're obsessed with quarterback, the fall off between Tua into Herbert is absolutely maddening. It's a huge divide in my mind. So for the Dolphins, my unfortunate thought is that they'll probably reach and still take a quarterback at five. My hope is if they get leapfrog for it, they'll simply take the best defensive player on the board because there are four or five game changers that'll still be right there. We're going to keep taking your take on everything, but we're also asking what Jalen Green going to the G League instead of college basketball means for the future of college basketball. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation for First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together. You can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Coming up next, what should we expect from Baker Mayfield and the Browns this season? You'll hear what First Take had to say about that next. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're about to talk some Browns. You guys can chime in. Give us your thoughts on Baker Mayfield. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Do the Browns still have their franchise quarterback? I'll take your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on the conversation. By the way, if you haven't heard about the All-In Challenge, it's incredible. It's a fundraising effort for the coronavirus crisis relief. 100% of what's raised will benefit charitable organizations focused on providing foods to those in need, particularly kids, the elderly, frontline workers. You can check it out. It's allinchallenge.com. There's these crazy once-in-a-lifetime experiences you can either bid on or enter to win. Some of those experiences, I'm not kidding, a walk-on role in a Scorsese film with DiCaprio or De Niro. There's also signed a one-day contract with the Mavs for a preseason game. You can enter to win the opportunity to be Ellen's co-host for a day. I mean, there are all sorts of crazy things. Yes, there's some big, unique, you want to play horse with Magic Johnson and then go to a Lakers game, you can bid on that. And some of that, none of us will ever be able to afford. But even if you can't, you can go look at the great raffle items. It's as simple as 10 raffle entries for 10 bucks. So everybody can get involved. Everybody can help. Everybody can be a part of this. And 100% of the money raised by the All-In Challenge will benefit organizations providing food to those in need. If you want to participate or if you just want to learn more about how those organizations help, visit allinchallenge.com. Really cool stuff going out there. So the question I'm asking, do the Browns have their franchise quarterback? Well, do they believe in Baker Mayfield anymore? Or do any of us even believe in Cleveland? It feels like the wheels have fallen off on a brand and a quarterback that were being hyped beyond compare last year. So today, Max and Stephen A. broke down the Browns and the expectations this year for Baker.
I expect improvement because I assume that Stefanski is going to be better than Kitchens was. But I got to say this about Baker Mayfield. It is tough. And we've seen quarterbacks in the past bounce from coach to coach to coach. It's a point that that Dan Orlovsky, I think Lewis Riddick has made on the air before, and many others in the world of football. When a quarterback has to bounce from head coach to head coach, even offensive coordinator turnover can be very disruptive to their progress. Think about who Baker Mayfield has had so far. Hugh Jackson, not an established head coach, 1 year with the Raiders, and he turned out to be a very bad head coach. Greg Williams, also, he had established himself as a head coach, actually, and improved the Buffalo Bills once upon a time. And in fact, he had great success with Greg Williams as an interim head coach. Then Freddie Kitchens had not established himself as a head coach, wasn't any good. Now Stefanski also has not had head coaching experience on the NFL level. So we're talking about a guy who has not exactly been given the right kind of coaching so far. And what we see, and I've said it many times, Stephen A., baseball, it's about the GM. Basketball, it's about the players. Football, it's about the coaching. If I had to say what's the most important thing, the coaching situation. So let's assume Stefanski is actually solid. At least he's an improvement over Kitchens. Then I expect Baker to improve also.
Well, saying that he's going to improve is not saying much because he's got a long way to go. I mean, he's near the bottom right now. When you throw 20 interceptions, I mean, outside of Jameis Winston, the man who should have been defensive player of the year at the quarterback position because of all them damn interceptions he threw, Baker Mayfield wasn't too far behind. He threw 20, 21 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. We get all of that. Baker Mayfield is not a scrub, but he's got a lot of growing to do. And to his credit, he's acknowledged that it's not just about throwing interceptions and refraining from doing so. It's also about being a leader. Do I expect him to be worse? No. I certainly don't expect him to be worse as a person. I don't expect him to be worse as a football player. But I do expect him to struggle because I expect the Pittsburgh Steelers to be better. I expect the Baltimore Ravens to be just as good, maybe not 14-2 good, but I expect them to be good because I think Lamar Jackson will have an additional year under his belt. And I don't think that the Cincinnati Bengals will be any worse because I don't know how much worse they could get, even though I'm going to be kind today and try to give Zach Taylor and that crew a chance. In the end, what it comes down to is this. I expect Cleveland to lose at least 3 games in the division and at least 4 games outside of the division, which means at best it will be 9-7. I say 8-8, and that's about it.
If you missed our entire interview today, First Take Your Take, we talked to Sean Farnham. You can go check it out on demand at the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by the Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? Jody in Toledo, what's your take on the Browns and Baker?
I think that everybody can agree that Freddie Kitchens was a mistake. It was trick plays. Every game he tried to come up with some new trick play. The Browns will never take steps forward until they get some sort of identity. They have one of the best running backs in the game, and they need to protect Baker and hopefully – this year they can move forward with an identity that's just smash mouth football in the AFC North.
Well, I appreciate the call. I'm not sure that the identity's intended to be smash mouth football, though. I mean, yes, they've got some running backs that can run the football, obviously, but they've got weapons galore and a quarterback that can make big plays. I mean, I think the identity of the Browns was intended to be something different than that. It was intended to be explosive and open. Dan in Ohio, real quick, what's your take on Baker?
Yeah, love your show, Jason. I just wanted to say that, you know, I think Baker Mayfield needs that coaching. He's the man. I think, you know, we should stick with him. I grew up watching the cardiac kids, you know, the high-flying offense, the catches by Ozzie Newsome and Reggie Langhorne and the gang. You know, hey, the Browns are coming back, man. I've been waiting my whole life, right? I'm 52 years old, so it's got to happen sometime, right? Just one time.
Hey, you know, I love the optimism, and thanks for your take on it. I don't disagree with you, by the way. I think the Browns are going to be better this year than people are giving them credit for. We've seen Baker perform at a high level. I think Freddie Kitchens was a large part of the problem. But the identity of the Browns, to me, lives and dies with Baker Mayfield. And, you know, we've seen it, and you need to see it again. And this is a reminder for everybody that's a fan of a team whose young quarterback has played well. You got to see it sustained. Coming up, with the Splash Brothers have had the same success in New Orleans? You'll hear next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.